Let's go to Revelation chapter 7. We started a little different thing on Wednesday night, trying to take a meditation that will take us through tomorrow, maybe a few days into the Sunday worship time. Our thought for tonight is flawless and faithful. Flawless and faithful. Our opening remarks here. I will be flawless one day, so I want to be faithful today. We're going to read that a little slower so we can think about it. I will be flawless one day, so I want to be faithful today. In fact, if we don't see that flawlessness coming, it has a tendency to work out that we're just living for today. No, we're living for eternity. So the opening remark, I will be flawless one day, so I want to be faithful today. When I stand in heaven with Christ robed in white, that's righteousness, and wearing a golden crown, that's reigning as a victor, I will look back over my life's pilgrimage of trial, temptations, and the torments of sin, and in the triumph of my faith will praise God for my completed deliverance. That is going to happen. Now a little slower. I will be flawless one day, so I want to be faithful today. That's going to be our meditation. When I stand in heaven with Christ robed in white, that's his righteousness, and wearing a golden crown, a sign as a victor, I will look back over my life's pilgrimage of trial, temptations, and the torments of sin, and in the triumph of my faith will praise God for my completed deliverance. You will stand there one day if you're in Christ and experience all those things. That's the good days coming, amen? The best is yet to come. Now let's look at it. When you're in heaven, when I'm in heaven because of faith in Christ, Revelation 7, 9 through 17. Revelation 7, starting in verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. All God's people say, Amen. That is true. That is going to happen. And verse 13, And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? He asked John that question, who was writing down this revelation, so John would know. And whence came they? Where are these people? Where did they come from? Verse 14, And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. I think that's one of the wisest things. If someone asks you a question, you know, you tell me. And he said unto him, These are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. So these will join us there in heaven, those who have been saved and martyred in the great tribulation. Verse 17, For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. Boy, just the satisfaction, amen? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That is going to be a blessed time. One day, every believer will stand in heaven and worship God. What's our meditation tomorrow, tonight, when we wake up in the morning? Since I am going to be flawless, forever because of Christ, I might as well be faithful today. Might as well be faithful to the Lord today because I'm going to be flawless before the throne. That's going to be a wonderful time. If we can only have the sight to see it before it gets here, it is a coming. It's going to happen. I'm so looking forward to it. Father, help us to let our faith in you be realized tonight, because one day we will see it literally. Help us to not walk by sight right now, but by faith. For your word says we are to walk by faith and not by sight. With all the wicked things going on in our world, we might think it'll never happen. And that is exactly what Satan would want us to think. Lord, you are the one sitting on a throne, not Satan. And so I praise you and thank you that he is a defeated foe. You destroyed his works on the cross and offered salvation to anyone who would believe upon you. You are our great God and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Thank you so much. Take over our hearts and minds and be our teacher tonight, Holy Spirit, we pray, so that we might enjoy what we have in Jesus. In your name we ask it. Amen. My faith shall become sight. I will experience the fullness of what, understand, I already have in Jesus Christ. We already have the fullness. We already have it. There's no improvement on Jesus Christ. He's all that we would ever hope for, ever desire, ever need to satisfy God and satisfy our own soul is Jesus Christ. Everything else is just a benefit. Everything else is a benefit. He's all we really need. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You know, someone was talking to me about the sovereignty of God and things like that, you know, and I said, yeah, that's true. God is sovereign and man is stupid. Anybody ever? You know, just a little laughter there, a little comic relief. God's all known, but we aren't, and so that's true. But here, folks, the plug has been pulled, the water is draining out of the tub, and everybody can move around all they want in the splashing, but we're going right down to the drain, and the drain empties out right before the throne of God. I like that. Do whatever you want to in the water, but you're going right before the throne. The funnel's already there. So it's moving exactly at the pace God wants it to move. Chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 of Colossians. Christ is a better philosophy than any law works. Christ himself is a better philosophy. The person of Christ is a better way to think, a better way for your mind to be contoured to than any other realm of thinking. The mind of Christ is the greatest mind. So Colossians 2, 9 through 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the authority of the three persons of God. You see that power in the person of Jesus Christ. In his body you would see that. And ye, now notice, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Christ is the head of all powers. Even Satan can't do anything that the Lord doesn't allow him to do. Go to Galatians 5:16. Now we're going to apply this meditation tomorrow and tonight. Since I am flawless, I might as well be faithful. I'm going to be flawless, so I might as well be faithful today. And we're going to look at Galatians 5:16. Since I don't want to walk in the flesh today, notice how I turned it around now, I must keep renewing my mind on that future glory. So I just turned it around on you. Galatians 5:16, here's how we do it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that's the future glory coming into the present. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's anything that rises in your heart and mind that are contrary to the will of God. That's your flesh. So, just think of yourself standing flawless before the throne of God. And it will cause you to want to be faithful today. It will cause you to want to be faithful to God today. We need a renewed hope and faith about what lies ahead as Christ completes his sanctifying work in us, and he will complete the job. One of the many amazing things Christ is doing right now is changing you by the power of his Holy Spirit into someone worthy of honor in his kingdom. Someday you will receive the crown of righteousness, a crown of life, and a crown of glory from his powerful and gracious hand. That's not just for faithful pastors. That's for faithful people. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. You want to look at that one? Okay. Somebody was asking me the other day about rewards and crowns and these things. Well, let's try to help one another get this, right? Who will Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," to? Every believer. Did he say that to the thief on the cross who trusted him when he said to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise"? Yes. Because what degree was his faithfulness? About an hour or so before he died on the cross when he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That was faithfulness. He was declaring Jesus is Lord. And that's all the time he got. We've got a little more time than that, don't we? In any degree in which we allow Jesus Christ to be manifest in our bodies, magnified in our bodies, to that degree he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So, I really thank the Lord for that wonderful promise. What were we going to look at? 1 Peter 5:4, right? Okay. 1 Peter 5:4. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." He goes from the elders to the people, and the ye here is talking about both of them. The elder teacher, the pastor teacher of the flock, and the people who are feeding on the word of God as God's inheritance. So we're all going to have that crown of glory. That's wonderful. Look at 2 Peter 1:4. I already have it printed out for you. How many of you like that large print? Anybody? Isn't that great? Your grandma can read that. All right, that's one. One of the ladies said, "I am a grandma." Okay, that's okay. No problem. Second, you don't have to be a grandma not to be able to see too well. You know, I got contacts on right now. 2 Peter 1:1-4. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith," because there's only one faith, and that's why it's precious. There's only one. "And we've obtained it with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." That's where our faith lies. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness." That's the fullness. All of it's given to us already. Already got the fullness. Everything we would actually need to glorify God and be satisfied in, we already have it. That's saying a mouthful, isn't it? And that's what the Lord says, though. It says, "This pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that," notice this, "hath called us to glory and virtue." Remember, you're going to be standing before the Lord in that throne one day. He's called us to that. The virtue is showing it right now. The excellence of God, because that future glory is coming. Remember, we're going to be flawless, so we might as well be faithful. That's our meditation again tomorrow, tonight, before you go to sleep. "Since I'm going to be standing flawless before God one day, I want to be faithful today, because that day's coming. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature." See, we got to believe God when he gives a promise. "What have we done? We've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And somebody say amen to that. Amen. And boy, it is all over the place. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Somebody sent me a text message about Williamsport Handbook, about having their, I didn't even want to say it with the children here, but the one part is a straight person, and the other part is a person who's not straight. You know what I'm saying? And you have to have special days for these people who aren't straight. That is sickening. That is sickening to tell someone a lie like that when they should have just turned them to God and realized that the lust of their carnal flesh can go anywhere. It should have put them right back to God to get their thinking straight. That would have been the loving thing to do. That would have been the loving thing to do. You don't separate truth and the loving thing to do. They're the same. Remember that. Since you will be flawless in glory one day, Colossians 3:4, be faithful and holy living today. See, let's look at that one. Colossians chapter 3. How many of you already turned there? Probably most of you. Yeah. We're way ahead of you, Pastor Long. Yes, I know. Colossians 3 and verse 4, since we will be flawless in glory one day, be faithful and holy living today. And it's a longer passage, so I'll just go ahead and read it because I think we need to. Since I will be flawless in glory one day, I might as well be faithful to God today. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's heaven, folks. You're going to be there if you're in Christ. Now apply it to today. Put to death your members which are upon the earth. These lustful members, fornication, uncleanness, that I already mentioned at the beginning here, what's taking place, the promotion of uncleanliness in the spiritual realm. Inordinate affection, that's just not natural affection. Evil concupiscence, all kind of evil thoughts, wicked deeds, and covetousness. That's not the only one which is idolatry. All of those are idolatry. All of those are a form of, there's religious sins, there's social sins, and so we see these right here. And then there's material sins. So you see that right in all of those right there. Things with your physical, things with your creation, and then with materialism. All of that can be idolatry. All of that can be putting first before God. But remember, when Christ shall appear, you're going to appear with him in glory. Keep that in your mind. Now let me tell you about the filth that's going on. That you don't need to be involved in. That's what he's telling us. You know, I just wish there was just... No wonder these churches just, you know, TV and whatever, loosely, I'll use that term loosely. They just grow and grow. Why do they? Because they don't want to mention sin. They would mention verse 4 and close the Bible. They wouldn't mention what's not glorifying God. But folks, these things do not glorify God. They are disobedient toward God. They're dishonoring of God. Look at verse 6. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on what type of children? The ones that are disobedient. They haven't obeyed the gospel and they haven't obeyed God. In which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. So that means Jesus saved sinners. Aren't you glad of that? At one time, all of us were disobedient because we hadn't obeyed the gospel yet. But notice, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. Well, you say I may not be involved in those other sins, but what about these? Anger, wrath, malice, which is ill will, injuring somebody's reputation with your mouth, that's blasphemy, applied to God and men, filthy communication, just the sewage poured out of your mouth. One of my friends put his children in a swanky school in North Carolina, you know, rich people, school kids go there. Let's just leave it there. Pastor Long's kid will not be attending. But anyways, of the teachers has a little blog, and she wrote, whenever someone disagrees with her, she's teaching at this school. They just hired her, you know, because she was enthusiastic, I guess was the word. It got to be more than enthusiasm, you know what I mean? And if you disagreed with her, she would cuss you. I mean, like, really cuss you on her blogs. And how they let that slip into the this classical education, everybody's to the T except for her. Now, just to give you the picture, not that people can't get saved, look anyways, right? Yes or no? Is this true? Yes. I've got friends, they got all kind of looks to them. And some of them are saved and some of them aren't. But the lady has her head shaved on the side. Her hair is dyed clown red. You know what I mean? About the color of Ray's shirt over there. It's even brighter than that. A nice shirt, but it wouldn't look too good on your head. And big dragon on this all the way down her arm. And she teaches philosophy. You know, and you think, we need to be gracious with people, right? Well, that's true. We do need to be gracious with people. But if a guy is known for robbing a church and he moves and comes to this church, we don't want him to be our treasurer, amen? That's not being gracious. That's being stupid. So the sad thing about it is lacking in discernment in these things, discernment. You can't, today, you can't say, that doesn't fit. Well, folks, some things just don't fit. And whereas we want to have mercy on people, we don't want to put someone in leadership who's just been saved last year and still speaking like they're living on the street. Do you understand the difference? And that's not being unkind to the person. That's being kind to everybody else. A lot of things got to be careful of. So if the filthy communication is still coming out of your mouth as a way of life, you're not putting on Jesus, you're putting on something else. That's called the flesh. Verse 9, lie not one to another. We're supposed to tell the truth and speak the truth in love. Seeing that ye have, this is a past tense at salvation, put off the old man with his deeds. So there has been a change there. And ye have put on the man, the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. By the way, there's some very hard people in that statement, just to let you know. So can a person be saved who's had a very rough background? Come on. Of course, yes. But we have to be careful. We want to take people where they are, but we're not going to put them in leadership positions. Can't do that. That wouldn't be wise. Let's go on, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Here's playing out this glory. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is living in that present glory today. And above all these things, put on charity at the throne of God. You're going to be experiencing the greatest love you ever have, which is the bond of perfectness. That's what will stick us together. True, genuine love. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts like an umpire. This is in, that is out. To which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in hymns and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in the word or deed, see, words are important too. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So since we will be flawless one day, we need to be faithful to the Lord today. Here's a prayer I think would be good for us. May all that come in contact with me today experience a little taste of heaven on earth as I bring the Holy Spirit into their presence. How many of you want to live that way? Is it possible to think about the eternal glory so much that you're bringing back into the day and just enjoy the fact you're going to be flawless one day, so we might as well be faithful. That day's coming. Meditation. I will stand flawless in heaven one day. I want to be faithful to Christ today. Or you can say it this way. Because I will stand flawless in heaven one day, I want to be faithful to Christ today. Amen, folks. Wow. Amen. Let's look at our prayer list.